Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to show 254 of Absolutely Intercultural, the podcast about all things intercultural. This is Anne Fox in Denmark, and in this show we'll be looking at an unexpected effect of COVID-19 on bureaucracy in Japan. We'll also be looking at how doing an intercultural course in a virtual world can change your everyday actions. So why would Elaine Hota in Tel Aviv be exploring how to offer intercultural training in a virtual world?
Turns out that when you feel something in a virtual world, it doesn't just stay in the virtual world, it can affect your life afterwards.
Seals are an important way of validating all sorts of documents in Japan. Both the old-fashioned wax seals and the more modern ink seals, which older listeners might remember from post offices, libraries and banks. But how widespread is the use of seals in Japan?
Well, I would say it's everywhere.
We'll be hearing later in the show about the problems caused by the need to meet face-to-face to stamp documents in Japan during the COVID-19 restrictions. But first, I've talked to Elaine Hota in Talpiot University in Tel Aviv before for the podcast, as she's been doing all sorts of innovative things to help her teacher training students promote intercultural understanding in the classroom. This latest initiative is not just limited to teachers, but also addressed to anybody who interacts with the public, such as social workers and the police. This latest initiative is about promoting empathy by experiencing life in different roles in a virtual world, and you're invited. Does it really make a difference, though, to the way you behave later, if you experience life in a virtual world as, for example, an obese person, a wheelchair-bound person, or a Syrian refugee? Let's go absolutely virtual.
It's ideal for anyone in the social services, nurses, policemen, because for the first time, people can feel what it's like to be someone else.
Can you give an example?
Yes, for example, in one of the units, you take a wheelchair and you are stuck in that wheelchair. And you have to do all different types of assignments from a wheelchair. And we also put all different types of what they're called NPCs, but like little robots, people around that talk as you go past them, who are really obnoxious and say horrible things. And you feel really terrible. I mean, you know, it's a terrible thing when people are disabled. People talk to them as if they're imbeciles, as if they're mentally disabled as well. Mm. And when you experience this, you know, go around and people talk to you as if you're an idiot. It's very, very humiliating. And it turns out, this is what we call the Protea effect. It turns out that when you feel something in a virtual world, it doesn't just stay in the virtual world. It can affect your life afterwards. You feel there are two things in a virtual world, presence and immersion. And when you have both, you feel and you believe you are that person in a different time period or a different country or as a different person. And you really feel that and you identify and empathize 100% with your character. The things that happen to your character, you'll be upset as if it was in the real world. And our research has shown a year after these people were disabled, when we asked them questions about the experience, it was so strong in their lives that some of them had become very militant as activists for rights for people who are disabled. And if they tell me if they ever go to a place, a restaurant, they always check out, does it have accessibility? And if not, they have something to say to the owners, which is amazing. It's something I didn't feel. It's an article we're publishing now. It's something you never think about, but virtual experience could have an amazing effect. So take it one step further. A lot of us, all of us are prejudiced and biased, however we like to think we're not. And in the virtual world, you meet this. Mm. You meet people, you become somebody else. You learn about multiculturalism and you do it at the same time. So you're with people from all different religions and groups together, discussing the issues, and then you've got simulations where you become a teacher, and the children are really rude and prejudiced and biased, and how do you react as the teacher? And loads and loads of amazing experiences where on the virtual world, as well as on the MOOC, which is on edX, the equivalent of edX in Israel. It's built very carefully so that each unit is a bit more collaborative. You're learning about the people around you, until in the final unit, you have to make a news item together, where one is the producer, one is the interviewer, one is the cameraman, you know, that type of thing. But you only do it in the last unit. Each unit, you do a bit more collaboration. You learn about each other's stories only in the fourth unit. And because we want you to build some sort of rapport. We have the experience of being a Syrian refugee.
Oh, how does that work?
You have to go to the market and buy fruit, and people react to you not nicely. Coming at you, you really understand how horrible people are, and how that people don't think, and how biased and prejudiced divide up people. I think this is, you know, your program absolutely intercultural, and there's so much in common with other people, and it's so important for us to think about our prejudices and try and get rid of them. We have an experience in life as someone who's obese, which is an area of society we don't often think about. It's quite a hard experience. In fact, you know, it's been interesting. I've done research on virtual worlds that people have, if you go into a gym for a certain number of hours, your avatar stays thin. And people were willing to waste hours in the gym, in a virtual gym. And I understood this, because after this exercise, in the evening, one of my students said, "I can't get my avatar to be thin again. I've lost so much weight in real life. I can't go around being fat." We've had a few thousand people taking the course already with amazing results. I mean, people are very happy with it, apart from people who hate technology and it was just terrible for them. But those people who love it just thought, it's like the way you always imagined that you'd like to teach or to learn as a learner, and you've never managed to do it because it's never been done before. It's all skills for the 21st century, and it's learning is fun, and we don't have an exam at the end. We have an escape room, which you have an hour to get out of.
Wonderful.
It revises all the material down through the course. I think it's a very powerful course. It's a course that people remember for a long time afterwards. No, I really feel, looking that we know what's been happening in the world with police cruelty and this racial discrimination is terrible. And if only policemen took this course, or more social workers, or people work in the law, you see things from the other side. You walk in someone else's shoes. And I think that's missing. I think this is one of the solutions to this big problem we have in the world today.
Yeah. And you've won a prize for this, isn't that right?
Yes, we were nominated for the Oscars for the best course in the world incorporating 21st century skills. And we were very proud, because the other people we were up against was Yale University, MIT, and Georgia Tech, and Imperial College London, and us. So we were very happy to be there.
So if you'd like to take part in the next English version of this unique course, where instead of an exam, you have to successfully emerge from an escape room in the amount of time allowed, then you can follow the link to MOOCisland.org, which you'll also find on our website at absolutely-intercultural.com. There is a modest fee, because virtual worlds are not free. But maybe you can persuade your organisation to support you. On the Absolutely Intercultural Facebook page, we post interesting articles relating to intercultural communication. And one of those was about the problems experienced in Japan during the pandemic, because people need to validate important transactions with a seal, which could be a wax seal or an ink seal. At times like this, I regret that the podcast is audio only, as these seals can be quite beautiful. But if you go to our website at www.absolutely-intercultural.com, you'll see some examples. One thing you need to know before we go absolutely sealed is that the Japanese word for these seals is hanko. What I wanted to know was, how was Japanese bureaucracy coping with the need for people to present themselves in person to validate important documents with their personal seal? I started by asking Masaki Oda, who is Dean of the Graduate School of Humanities at Tamagawa University near Tokyo in Japan, how widespread the use of these hankos really are.
Well, I would say it's everywhere. And
really?
Let me just explain it. Maybe I don't know about other Asia countries. So it's you basically, what is important is you have some what we call hanko, which is the kind of stick-like things, and you have all the big one, the small one, something. So it is like a stamp, something. Mm-hmm. There are formal ones are actually really important and usually handmade. So you order this. So there are something, I don't know whether this is real or not, but the old one, I saw something, some of those rich people had something with the ivory or like gold one, something.
Yeah.
It's a formal one, but usually it's a wooden one. And then you go to the particular, this craft shop, and then get you, you just request, okay, this is your name. And so it's very artistic one. So which distinguishes the one. So it's one and the only one, the kind of shape, and which serves a signature. And they put that in the kind of stamp and then put it, but it should be red one or something. So there are a lot of kind of formality there. Now, what we have problem is, we need that virtual evolution. For example, opening a bank account. Now you have the ATM card, but in the initial stage, you need hanko. Yeah, that ink seal is much more popular. And then also, what happened was, so the former one, I think there are like different shapes. I mean, those former one, like for example, you need that for the contract. You need that for the opening bank account, like any kind of registration for the house, insurance, etc. Especially when you open an account. So this has been practiced. And also small ones, which is can be replaced by signature or initial or something. But for example, if you go to university, the students basically need that one until last year to register courses. And so I, from my authority, because of this pandemic and everything goes online, so Dean can decide how to do with the student course registration. And I said, okay, I ordered. Okay, now you can just skip it, do it online. And then you can do the signature. And but very conservative people in my university, more on the administration side, were very kind of protested. So we kind of ended up, we compromised and we ended up, okay, you can send email and then you can print out the paper, put the hanko, and then they scan it again and send it. And you know what time? I mean, it's not, you are not like, buying a house.
Mm.
You are just making a timetable change of a student course registration. Think about the kind of economy of time in both ends. Something.
Mm.
But the things I think which has been reported were more serious, like executives in the company, something. The higher your position is, the more formal the procedure is, or more conservative procedure. So you may have to go to the office.
Mm. So what I'm hearing is that, yes, the use of seals and stamps is widespread, and you are needing to make some adjustments because of the pandemic. So the next question is, when we come out of the pandemic, assuming we do, will those changes become more permanent, or will you go back to the older system?
I would say it has to go permanent. And I think even it was very interesting a couple of weeks ago, the Japanese Ministry of Defense actually, he kind of mentioned that, or the defense, and you have to go there, something. And then Japanese Ministry of Defense actually eliminated most of those sales, and they do it online. Now, the defense ministry is doing it, and why the universities cannot do it?
Yeah.
So if something to the authority, so they are very slow. But I think now it was very, this Ministry of Defense and also some company, actually, there's some IT company, which is very ancient, totally limited that procedure because of this. And then they said they'll be permanent. And in our university, the most of the crowd, like for example, it's my graduate school of humanity, which is I'm dean, and I just look at the regulation, how much I can, how much power authority I have, because I became the dean on April 1st, and then it's and say, oh, I have a power, so I say, okay, I eliminate those, and then nobody complained that because I follow the regulation, I just exercise my authority. I don't think it's necessary that the student to put this seal for the every single registration timetable changes. So maybe I think it's a kind of grassroots bottom-up things.
I must say that when I started searching online for images of Hanko seals, they did look very attractive. And I was thinking they would make a nice quirky present for someone. But on balance, I can see why requiring many documents to be stamped by a physical seal might not work in a pandemic era. You can catch up on all our past shows on www.absolutely-intercultural.com, and you can also comment, give suggestions for future shows, or subscribe using Apple Podcasts, as well as on our Facebook page, where we post interesting links several times a week. The next show will be coming to you from Dr. Laurent Borgmann in Germany on October the 2nd. So until then, stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.